When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Doing you well.
Good morning. How are you doing? You all right?
Yeah, not bad, thank you. Not bad. Just firstly, how's training been this week? Any injury news specifically? I just wanted to ask around Lyndon Dykes as well.
Yeah, Lyndon's not as bad as we thought. Like I said last week, we was close to making the squad last week. Next couple of days, we'll tell on Lyndon again. You know, he took a whack on his knee, and that's something we won't take a risk on. But obviously, he's got the internationals coming up as well, and Lyndon's keen to get us fit for that. So both him, Chris, who missed out as well, in a couple of days training, and the second half, obviously, he's back on the grass today, which is great. Jack Clark Salter did 45, so he's back in contention. I think there's only Jimmy still as a long-termer that we can safely say is still out, you know. So no, I'm pleased with where we are. Pleased with where we are as a squad. You know, it's going to be needed because there's two big away trips coming up now, and we're going to be, you know, winning both of them. We believe we can win both games.
Just looking back to your previous game against Ipswich, you mentioned in your post-match comments about feeling, you know, your side did really well, just unlucky not to find the target. Thought Sinclair Armstrong was a real threat all afternoon as well. Anything you've been looking to improve on in training, sort of attacking wise, or maybe being a little bit more clinical off the back of that performance?
Yeah, obviously, you know, you want to stick your chances in, and when you say unlucky, it's almost like it's, you know, it's got a little bit of a sword in there saying, can we be better in front of goal? Because my aim when I came in, firstly, was to stay up, and then was to have a look at what went wrong. And we shipped so many goals last season. We shipped way too many goals. And I've addressed that, you know, with the players I brought in, probably a lot of defensive players, you know, with Ziad and Steve Cook and Fox and Begovic, you know, and Kolbak. They're all probably looking on the defensive side of things. And I really believe that we are now more solid. We really are, you know. I know Watford, everyone can have a look at that, but you know, Cookie wasn't in by then, Kolbak wasn't in by then, Fox had not even a week's training, you know. So we now are looking more solid, and but you can't stay up on clean sheets, you know, or achieve things on clean sheets. You can only achieve or stay in the championship on goals. You've got to score goals, you've got to win games, and so, you know, looking back, it's all very well saying, yeah, we're unlucky, and I'm guilty of that myself because I'm super positive. But we have to be clinical now. We've got to say, right, we've got that sorted at the back. You know, we look solid. Now can we convert some of these chances? And that's going to be key. You know, the XG is you know, it needs improving. We outdid Ipswich on Saturday, which is good. We, you know, we but we need to raise that. We need to be more threatening going forward. So we are working on those patterns going forward, and we've got the players to do it. Just seems to be chopping and changing at the moment with a couple of knocks and injuries. So, but Sinclair definitely is going to be a thorn in any defensive side, and we're working hard on him, and I believe in him, and I'm going to make him better. You know, I think that he's only started three games, I think, for QPR. So looking great at the moment.
Just in regard to that attacking side of things, I just wondered whether sort of a week to go to the end of the transfer window, any sort of activity in the market or expecting any incomings between now and the time the window closes, specifically, as I mentioned, and the sort of striking and attacking areas?
Probably not, but you never know. And that's my honest answer. You know, we'll see what we can do. But again, right player, right time. And definitely right price is something that we've got to have a look at QPR at the moment. So we're always looking, always got lists, always got, you know, we have a whole recruitment department with a lot of names and numbers on there. But let's say it's done a good bit of business. I think the six we've brought in so far, I think, are very good players. And, you know, with Smithy, you know, and Sinclair's like a new signing, you know, the way he is this season. So I'm really pleased where we are, you know. Ryan Colley as well, making his debut, I think is lively. I think there's a future for him. So I'm quite pleased that I've had to, instead of just going out there and spending and getting the players in, you might, you know, I want to utilise what we've got here, and some of these younger players coming through, I think, is important. That's, we're going to have to rely on this. And so, yeah, Sinclair and Ryan, definitely two names that people wouldn't have thought would be too involved right now, but I think they're very involved and very good players.
You've no doubt sort of spoken about this a bit already, just in terms of the rule changes this season around stoppages and added time. How have you sort of seen it play out with three games gone now in the Championship? What's your sort of thoughts on it, sort of seeing it in practice?
Yeah, trying to give the mental shift to the players that when 10 minutes goes up, it's not a massive sort of new moment of the game. We're saying the game's lasting 100 minutes now. The game's lasting 102 minutes now. You know, we've got to be prepared for that. 90 minutes is the cliche that's going to go soon, because it's definitely 100. You know, people are playing way longer than 90 minutes. And so the mental change, we're working hard on it. Boys have, again, got to be fitter. We've got to ramp the fitness up a little bit, as every team has to, you know, to last those longer minutes. You know, so I think, you know, when you're putting a sub on 85 minutes, you used to get a bit of stick for that, but there's still 15 minutes of the game left there. You know, it's little changes like that you've got to bring into your thinking as well. So, I'm getting used to it, but I'm not saying I like it, but I'll make my decision probably around Christmas time when we've had half a season. And, but it's going to become commonplace, isn't it? And that's what as long as it's consistency, that's all I want from referees. Consistency is all we're asking for throughout the games.
And just finally for me, Southampton up next, of course, this weekend, unbeaten so far under Russell Martin. How do you see that challenge?
Yeah, huge challenge. Great side. Obviously, one of the favourites to go back up. Parachute payments. Got money coming in. Rumoured to be making big signings. Rumoured to be changing their squad up quite a bit. But Russell, good friend of mine, and you know, good manager. He's got his style of play, and he sticks to it. And he's adamant that that will get him into the Premier League, and I'm sure it will one day. But hopefully, we can put a bit of a dent on that on Saturday.
Thanks for your time, Gareth. Appreciate it. Cheers.
Cheers. Thank you.
Good over to you.
Morning, Gareth. How you doing?
How you doing, Mike? Okay.
Good. Can I just go back to, just in regards to the sort of time that's being added on, just as, from a practical point of view, how aware are you on the sidelines, the coaching team, for example, of how much potential time there's going to be made? And as a supplement to that, do you think, both from the coaching point of view, but also from the fans in the stadium, do you think we need to get to a stage where the communication is better, that people actually know how much longer is likely to be played? From a coaching point of view, it'd be useful, but also from a fan's point of view.
Yeah, I mean, what they're saying is that any stoppages, any unforced stoppages, so not a goal kick, not a throw-in, but an injury or a stoppage in play or a pitch invasion or anything like that, they're going to do actual time substitutions. They're going to do actual time now. So everyone needs to know that if a sub takes a minute's going on. It's not just the 30 seconds rule, you know. So it's actual time going on now. The answer to the question is, do we know that with about 2 minutes left of the game, we'll get told by a fourth official how much time it is going to be added on? And that seems to be non-negotiable at the moment. There's no debate in that. They're going to make that decision. I don't know what other managers, but I kind of liked the miking up in the Women's World Cup. I kind of like the info coming out sometimes on certain things. I did, and that's weird because I've been a very traditionalist in this, but I thought it almost, even the penalty decisions or the VAR stuff, and I know it's probably Premier League now, we don't have it, but I kind of like that because I thought it brought the fans and the referee a bit closer. It brought the players information. There wasn't much arguing. You know, I don't want to get to rugby where everything's on mic, but I think with the technology we've got now, I think things are going to change a little bit like that. So, we are informed. I'd like it to be even better. I don't know how that works. I really don't feel I'm trying to wrap my brains, but the miking up at the refs was quite good. Just wish that we could talk a little bit more and debate a little bit more without looking like we're going to get in trouble or get booked or a yellow card, because I think some managers are getting yellow card for the simplest things now, and that's tough. So they are coming down hard, but perhaps the game got a bit out of control, you know, and that's why they've done it.
You mentioned the yellow card. The other sort of clamping down is the sort of dissent at the moment. I mean, I was at an FA Cup preliminary game on Tuesday, and we saw a lad get booked very early on, and it could only have been for saying something. And you think, well, the referees left themselves nowhere to go there. But is it something that you've had to have quite a lot of conversations with the team about, who can talk to the referee?
Yeah.
You know, how you deal with that? Because, I mean, it could be costly, couldn't it?
I've made the boys aware of the silly ones, like waving a yellow card, an imaginary yellow card is a straight yellow now. And it should be, you know, that should be. You shouldn't be asking for yellow cards on anything. Even the benches, the opposition benches and that, they shouldn't be asking for yellow cards either. And that's big for me. You know, we'll never do it. Not in a way, aggressive way. I might go over to the fourth and say, why did he not yellow him there? I won't say it should be yellows. And I've told my players, anyone gets done for any stupidity like that, then we've got to crack down on that. And there'll be an internal sort of system of punishment that I'll do if anyone gets stupid ones. But I want the boys to go into their tackles. I want the boys to fight for each other. And you know, there's always the surrounding the referee debate and things like that. But these boys are told to stick up for each other on the pitch. You know, they're not going to walk away. And if somebody's in trouble, it's tough. It is tough. It's a balancing act, Phil. But as you say, the silly yellows. I watched one of our development boys get booked quite early on in the week, and he was on tenterhooks the whole game. Then it's sort of what the type of player he is. It really, really affected his game. So those things do matter now, because the yellows look like they're coming quite quick, and we've seen already sendings off all over the place. You know, I think Fred Onyedimba at Rotherham on the first week got a yellow for asking for a yellow. He actually won the free kick, but got his second yellow and went off. And that, little things like that, we've got to be really careful of, because they could cost you. They can really cost you. So we've got to be ahead of the game on that.
Yeah, absolutely. You mentioned Southampton. You know, just a cursory look at them and some observations. I mean, obviously they love to play with the ball. They love possession. They're creating so many chances in the three Premier Championship games they've played so far. What is the approach to a team like Southampton? I mean, you know, You have to sort of accept that that's the way they want. Is it a disruption element before you sort of try and create?
All teams will know that they love the ball. They're trying to pass their way through the pitch. They've, you know, I think the first game against Sheffield Wednesday, they broke some sort of record in the first half of having possession. You know, so you know it's coming. You know it's coming. You know what they're going to try and do. You know, I'm not giving secrets away, but we work on things on the training ground that we try and disrupt that, of course, yeah. But they have created a lot of chances. They're a good side, you know. You know, Teller and Jay Adams, you know, there's rumours about transfers and fees agreed, and there's all sorts going on. So we don't exactly know what's coming, but we know that they'll have some strength in depth there. You know, selling Ward-Prowse obviously hit them, but they've, I've forgotten his name, but they've signed a midfield player, haven't they, to replace him. So we go through it all. We have a look, and you know, we're really thorough on the opposition, but the approach as well, Phil, is I've got something good here that the boys are grabbing hold of, the way of playing, the style of play that we've got, and I think that we can impose that on teams more than we have done under me in the last season especially. I'd like to impose our style a little bit on teams, and I think we've done that in the last couple of games, and it's worked really well. It last three games, really, Norwich, you know, I think that no one can complain. Results, yeah, a couple of 1-0 defeats, but I think that the place has seen a shift and seen what's trying to come. And I believe that we keep going that way, we'll be fine this season.
And you mentioned Sinclair, and obviously he's stood out the last, you know, couple of weeks, and people have you know, been very, very positive about him, who've seen him in the past as well, talking about him. I've even seen some suggestions this week that he's destined for the top flight. Firstly, with a young player making progress, how important is it to allow them to reach for the stars but keep their feet on the ground? And where do you see him? Where do you sort of at this moment in time? Do you compare him in any way, shape, or form to someone you've worked with or played with in the past?
Not really. I've never worked with somebody as quick and as powerful. And with the physical attributes that Sinclair's got. So I work really hard with him. So daily we'll go through videos together, and we had a one-on-one in the office the other day just about some aspects of his game that I want him to improve on. But to answer the question of where he can go, I think he can play in the Premier League. I really do. I think he has got the attributes to play in the Premier League, and I was lucky to play a handful of games up there, and he would be a definite asset to a team in a couple of years. Not a lad, not right
yes.
now.
So, not right
now. Let me work with him first. Yeah, but he's such a humble guy as well, which is really, really good. And there's a few like him around, and epitomizes sort of, you know, what I'm trying to do here. Just needed someone to believe in him, and I certainly believe in him. You know, people were saying at the start, you know, please keep hold of Sinclair. Don't, you know, I was getting messages. Well, not messages. I don't look at messages, but I was getting fans coming up to me and saying, you know, give Sinclair a chance, please keep hold of him. And I'm thinking in my head, there's no intention to get rid of this guy. What I've seen so far, all we got to do is keep him healthy, keep him fit, because he's going to be right up there. And I think he's going to score a lot of goals this year.
It's also an element that everyone should be just a little bit patient, because you say he's still developing. He's still on that upward trajectory, that curve, that learning curve.
Yeah, it's hard though, isn't it? Because people want things today, you know? Everyone wants everything yesterday in football. And I keep cracking on about this patience building. Probably something that is quite foreign to many football clubs. But because the tribalness, and because the every Saturday you want to win and have one over on your mates, or have one over on the opposition. But, you know, if we can have a lot more than just one over the opposition in a couple of years, I'll take that. Just give us a bit of time. You know, there's a few clubs gone through this, and they've come out the other end really, really strong for it. And I want to build. I want to make sure that when there is some success coming in the future, we have a really solid platform that it's genuine, built success, not flash in the pan stuff. And that's what I really, really want. And that's what I'm building towards.
Brilliant. Thank you for your time. Good luck Saturday.
Cheers. Thanks.
Ian, over to you.
Morning, Gareth. How are you, mate?
Morning, are you okay?
Not bad, thanks, mate. Just how's Sam Field, Gareth? I mean, you got a nasty one on Saturday.
Yeah, Ian. So Sam had a historic, injury to a knee, and I think he did a blocked tackle, a hell of a tackle, by the way, and a typical Sam Field tackle, shall we say? I think he was worried. I think he played 90 minutes against Norwich as well midweek, which he wasn't really down to do, but one or two of the other players cramped up, and we had to rotate things. But Sam had a he had sort of a tweak of a knee, and I think it was more Sam being sensible, precautionary, you know, coming off and but he's fine. I've been told he's training today. Obviously it's early, so I'll find out. But I'm pretty sure he's going to be fine for Saturday. Yeah. It was just I think the impact and it, as well as the impact, he got a whack on his head. There was no concussion involved, but I think he was just bloody dazed at the time. And yeah, I think he made the decision himself, saying, "Gaffer, I just want to come off. I'm just a bit worried. I've done something here." But after the tests and everything, I think he was absolutely fine. So I'm looking forward to Sam being involved. He's a hell of a player for this club, and I think he's got a, you know, if a fit Sam Field gets in my team every day, you know, he's a good player.
Yeah, just with Sinclair as well. I mean, obviously he's the two games he started, he's been outstanding. But when he's come off, the other team sort of got a foothold back in the game. I mean, that's fair against Cardiff. You were the better team for 75 minutes, and then they sort of finished with a strong late on. And then against Ipswich, when Sinclair went off, Ipswich sort of, if you look, maybe sort of took over the game a little bit. I mean, is that something that concerns you a little bit, that he's not quite ready enough to do a full 90 minutes yet, and B, just when he goes off, the options sort of going forward kind of look a little bit more reduced?
Yeah, I agree totally with you. And I think with Lyndon being out at the moment as well, that hurts us. You know, I think at Cardiff, we probably had that threat of a counter-attack with Lyndon. You know, Cardiff definitely took the kitchen sink at us and got better, but totally agree on the Ipswich game. I thought Ipswich were... It was almost a relief for Ipswich that he went off, you know, and I think that we've got to have a look at that and maybe find someone who can replace him, because as you say, he's young, he's still not built up his speed, endurance, you know, that we're working on it, believe me. But historically, last year, Sinclair got so many little tweaks in his hamstrings, and it's something we don't want any more of, you know, so we're really looking after him. And the fitness team will get on that. He needs, you know, I want him to do 90 ultimately, but at the moment he's blowing about 70, you know, and we've got to have a look at that. But it's probably Lyndon being a little bit of, you know, the injury that Lyndon's got, missing the last game. I think Lyndon would have been ideal at the replacement or change of position where he could have gone. So there is people in the building, but totally agree, mate. Sinclair's the focal point at the moment. Everything's about him. So when he's not in the team, people definitely do have a look at that. But it's a good point. Good point. And the last two games, the goals have been light against us, and we've got to have a look at that as well.
Just with, I know your hands are tied a little bit with what you can do in the market, but I mean, just in striking terms, it's a big ask. Lyndon's knee problem and sort of had injury problems last year. And, you know, Ryan Coley's hugely inexperienced, and obviously Sinclair's not played many games. I mean, is there any option just to kind of bolster those, just someone, just a bench option, someone off the bench that you can bring in that can just add to those striking, because it's a long season and injuries happen?
Yeah, it's a long one, mate. It's going to be difficult, but I'm always looking, you know. I can't really say much more than that, mate. You know, obviously I want brilliant players at this club and try and get as many as I can. But I also know it's going to be difficult to do that. So we've got to have a look at some of these youngsters and bring them through. And if that's what we've got to do, that's what we've got to do. Like you say, Ryan is inexperienced, but the only way to get better is with experience. And hopefully Lyndon will be fit for Saturday. So we'll have the options. You know, we still have... You know, Paul Smith can play out there, Chris Willock, Ilias can, all great forward options. It's just probably that focal point, that striker that we rely on quite a bit. But it's something I'm definitely trying to work on, Ian. But obviously we all know that it's tough to bring those strikers in. They're the expensive ones, aren't they?
Yeah, awesome. All right, mate. Thanks for your time. Cheers, Gareth.
Thanks, mate. Cheers.
Paul, over to you.
All right, Gareth, how you doing?
You're right, Paul, how are you doing?
Yeah, not bad. I mean, a lot of my questions already been asked. I mean, I was going to ask about Southampton game. You've been pleased with the performance. You sort of highlighted the performance against Ipswich last week. How do you turn that performance into a result at Southampton?
Sorry, how do I?
How was QPR going to turn that good performance to actually get a good result at Southampton? Because you obviously lost your game in the end, but.
Yeah, consistency, honestly. Results are important to me, of course. They're what gets you the job and keeps you the job and things like that. But performance, I'm really, really proud of. And if we can perform like we did again, we'll get results over time. We will. So I'm asking for a consistent performance. But yeah, it's gonna be tough. But you know, I think Sinclair's got an opportunity to exploit a big pitch, so plenty of space to run into. I think when we get the ball, we've got to keep it like we've been keeping it and give our forward players the rest sometimes, you know, and make some passes and keep control of possession. These are all new things, the new style that I'm trying to implement here. So, yeah, just consistency of performance. I think that both the Norwich and the Ipswich games and definitely the Cardiff games, you know, we would all sit here and say, you know what, yeah, okay, we don't think go our way, but we can see the positives. We can see an upturn in performance since the weeks before that. And so it's just consistency, keeping players fit. And, you know, let's not beat around the bush. We got a Premier League squad here we're up against on Saturday. We've got to make sure that we're at our best. And it's going to be a real test, a real good test. I'm looking forward to that because with Middlesbrough away the week after, it's not going to be any easier. You know, this doesn't get easy, this game. And I'm looking forward to being at home again. But these are good away trips, good followings with the fans. I think they're going to play a big part. And yeah, consistency, performance, that's what I'm asking for from the boys.
How would you rate QPR's start to the season overall? Obviously, you had a disappointing start at Watford, but you've seen signs of improvement. And then what would you say got better?
Yeah, I'll take the Watford game out of it. I'm pleased. Obviously, we can't take the Watford game out of it. So we're getting behind where I wanted to be. I think if I'd have got my act together sooner on that one, we'd have been maybe sitting a bit higher on the table. I think Saturday we are a fraction away from 4 points in the league and probably sitting mid table rather than 3 points and 17th. I think we are. So I think there's no disaster. There's no massive panic. I can see some real good building signs here and. The future with some of these young boys playing is really bright. So, like I say, a bit of patience. That's all I'm asking.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.